Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how goes it?
It goes good. We're also joined by our good buddy, John Peters. Hey, John, pull up your stool.
Hey, fellas, how we doing?
We're doing good. Now, we got one more guest here drinking some beers with us tonight. We're joined by our good friend, Bob, from It's All in WDW. How you doing tonight, Bob? Pull up your stool.
What up, Main Street?
Should we call this Laguna Bar East?
Laguna Bar North.
Yeah, North.
Yes.
Oh, my poor Laguna Bar. It's hard to believe that 1 week ago tonight that we were actually sitting at Laguna Bar watching a baseball game.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring that up. We don't want to make you feel bad, Bob.
There's always next year.
There's always next year.
Well, I told everybody at work, you know, the last time the Indians were in the World Series was 97, and that was 19 years ago. So the way I figured, if it's another 19 years, the next time they're in World Series, I'll be in my 70s and in a rocking chair.
Hopefully you're in your 70s sitting in Laguna Bar watching the game in the same spot. How's that sound?
That's if I have the strength at that age to get up on those stools.
Yeah. I have a feeling if one of us three is buying you a beer, you'll have the strength to get up on that stool. That's just me.
I hope so.
So how you guys been? Anything new? You got jet lag, Dan?
Yeah, no, not really. Good flight back from Florida and just getting back acclimated into the real world, as they say. So, yeah, it was a great trip, good trip, and we got stories to tell and future podcasts. But good to be back home in a way, but missing Disney World, of course.
Oh, aren't we all? It's very, very sad. It was nice to meet up with all you guys. We had a good time. John and us, we drank a little bit around the world, didn't we, John?
A little bit. Not too bad.
Yeah, and I will cover it now because we're going to cover food and wine and we're going to cover our hits and misses of food and wine and to wrap it up in a nice little bow. And then we found out it's being extended by another week, so John's going to get to hit it one more time. So we'll kind of give all of our hit and misses and maybe a couple things that John must try again before food and wine's over. I mean, because there's a couple things I wanted to try that I didn't get to try, so maybe you guys did, and maybe we can get John to do it. What do you guys think?
Sounds good.
So, you excited to head back down? What are you going down for your anniversary, John?
Yeah, in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from last Sunday will be our 20th anniversary, so we're heading over there probably in the morning or in the early afternoon just to grab a couple items and then build up our nice hunger for our favorite Cape May Cafe for dining reservation at 8 o'clock. So.
Ooh, Cape May Cafe.
Crab cake, crab legs, yum, yum, yum.
Happy anniversary.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Yeah, you better call ahead, make sure the crab legs are there, because that would really stink if they weren't.
Yeah, I did last time, and they were there, so yeah, I'm pretty sure we'll verify it again, but just to be safe. But yeah, I'm going to make sure. So.
I would, because without them, I wouldn't be the same.
Well, that's about all my wife eats, so yeah, that would put a serious hamper on the cost effectiveness of it. So.
And then the one thing before we get into the whole food and wine deal, and it was also wonderful to meet Peas and Carrots. We got to meet them down there, which was awesome, yep. Brian and Carmen. But this Lefindamont, John,
it was nasty. My goodness.
It was nasty.
Ask Bob, what do you think about Lefindamont?
It's an acquired taste. I'm not the type of person.
That's true,
So I've had most of, I think that's by Unibrew, right?
Yes.
In Quebec, and I've had most of their beers, and I'm not a real big fan of the yeasty kind of beer. It's got a little bit of a yeast taste to it. So, I guess I got to kind of fall in on Doug's side of that equation. Oh. It's not going to be something that I'm going to order all that often.
And okay. I have to be neutral, John. I have to admit, I've never had one. And on this particular trip, I was on some medication that I couldn't partake in alcoholic beverages, so I didn't have the chance to have one. So I'll reserve my opinion on this and weigh in on it in the future.
Well, I know Brian from Peas and Carrots. He agrees with me, so at least I got somebody in my corner. So
yes.
Well, I ain't even going to go there. So, but anyway, I'll tell you what, Dan. I'd rather take the medication that you're on than take another one in the months. I'll tell you that right now, man.
You needed some medication after that.
Oh, my goodness. I needed to brush my teeth. I almost went and tried to find a toothbrush. I went and got a moose head. And the thing was, I was bad. I tried multiple beers this trip that I did not like. Like, we got, to speak of food and wine, I don't know if you did any of these, John, Bob, but and I know you didn't, Dan, because you just explained why.
Right, right.
But did you do any of the beer flights at all, Bob?
I didn't do beer flights. The only beer that I had was the Innocent Gun at Scotland. I think John and I actually went back and forth on that even after I left Food and Wine, because I found some here in Atlanta. That's a really, really good beer. I do enjoy that.
Yeah, it's got a nice creamy, nice ale taste to it, and it's fantastic. It really is. So.
And it doesn't help that it was aged in whiskey barrels.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, John goes to me, goes, Doug, I think you'll like Beer Flight 1 more than Beer Flight 2. I'll tell you what, both flights could fly the cuckoo's nest for me. But anyway, they had the flight that I had was the Orlando. What was it called? The Orlando one. Do you remember, John? It was Orlando Brewing Company.
Yeah, it was Beer Flight number 1 from the craft beers. Oh, and don't forget, we also met up with Dave Koch, and that's who we enjoyed the beer flight with. So Dave Koch from the Mickey Dudes podcast.
I was going to mention that. Good job, okay. John. No, good. I was going to, too, but good job. He liked your beer flight better than I did, so that's why. He wants to prove that it was 2-1, Dan.
Oh.
but and then we had a nice friend, one of Dave's friends of his show. We met her, and I ended up giving her one of mine. It was the Orlando, which was good. Then it was the blueberry, and then it was a coffee one. The coffee one, even John didn't like the coffee one. No, did you, John?
Nah, that one wasn't great. But yeah, I mean the Stilts. I think you had the Stilts or the Three Daughters Stiltsville Pilsner. That one was pretty. I mean, you drank most of that one, I believe.
I drank the whole thing. That one I drank from the Orlando one. It was Orlando Pilsner. But the blueberry and the coffee were nasty. The coffee tasted like a burnt coffee that was sitting in the bottom of your pot for 7 months. And then what they did is they took a skunked rolling rock and poured in there and then scrubbed out the bottom of the pot and then poured it into a glass for you and chilled it a little bit. That's what that tasted like.
Well, all I get to say, Doug, I've drinking many a craft beer over the years, and I have to say, I started out on, Coors Light, Bud Light, Budweiser and stuff like that. It does take a while to acquire taste for some of these heavier beers, very hoppy beers, wheat-based beers and such. So I give you credit for trying as many as you did this early in and on your beer expedition, if you will. I think you'll find as the years go on, if you keep trying some of these, you'll like more than you won't. And I think it's just an explosion of flavor and just uniqueness of these different beers that you're getting all at once very early in on your you're trying all these different beers. That's how I view it anyways.
It was an explosion. I wouldn't necessarily call it flavor.
Did you guys have that at Craft Beers?
Yes.
I think I might have had that chocolate one or the coffee one. I actually kind of liked it.
Oh, my God. Were you hungover and you needed to get straightened back out, or what was going on?
No, I was ship shape when I had it.
No. No, that ship was going down, if you ask me. But Dave, and put it to you this way, Dave Koch, he, with the blueberry one, he power slammed it. He held his nose and drank it really quick. And or the end of the coffee one, not the blueberry one, because the nice lady, she had the blueberry one. Dave guzzled the coffee one, remember, John?
Yeah.
Like a shooter, right?
Yeah, I agree with you on the blueberry one. I'm not a fan of the fruit actually inside the beers like that. So that one I could done without. So.
And I did try the three that you had. One of the three was okay again. I remember I liked one on each, so I liked two out of six. It was easy for me. Head over, get a Moosehead, go get a Peroni, go get a Coors Light. I'm happy. Leave the and the Harp. I did like the Harp I had with my Bangers and Mash. I do like the Harp over at the Rosen Crown. I do.
And you said the Frozen Kirin in Japan wasn't all that bad. So,
no, that wasn't bad. I liked that. That was okay.
So yeah, you like very light beers, no problem. I mean, that's just what you like. So
now, have you ever heard of a Crazy Leprechaun beer?
No, I don't think I have.
One of the guys I work with today was calling it. I think that was the name, Crazy Leprechaun. He said it's like 13 proof or something.
13%, yeah, ABV. It's probably one of your craft beers up there from local Pennsylvania or Jersey somewhere. So sounds interesting. Grab me one.
Not for me, man. He said him and his buddy drank a six pack and they couldn't go anywhere. I enjoy trying the different things. I even enjoyed trying that Le Fin de Mont just to tell you how bad it was.
It just broke my heart. I wasn't there that day to finish it for you because I certainly would have.
I even snuck it over to my brother-in-law. And I even tried to paint a picture because I wanted him to gag on it, to be actually honest with you. I was like, you got to try this beer. My buddy John told me you got to try this. So he goes and drinks, and oh, my God, it looked like I made him eat a skunk.
You're over there acting like it's Beverly or something. You're passing it around making people spit it out.
I'll tell you what, I think I'd rather drink Beverly. Honest to goodness, I honestly think I would do Beverly before I would do that Le Fin de Mont again.
Well, I'll tell you what, John, Doug was a little concerned because when we met up at Epcot, that was one of the first things. Doug was very distraught. I don't know, remember exactly how the conversation went, but it got to the point that I don't know how I'm going to break this to John, but, man, that beer was nasty, you know, and he was trying to figure out how he was going to, you know, break it to you, which he finally figured out. He's just going to outright tell you it was lousy, but, you know, he it was kind of funny the way that he tried it in hopes to liking it and, you know, telling you it was a good recommendation, but didn't work out quite that way.
Yeah, well, Dave was also – it was great meeting Dave from the Mickey Dudes. He's a good guy. We actually got along, didn't we, John? We didn't fight or anything.
Yeah, I was surprised. Y'all seemed to get along pretty well.
Yeah, he's a good guy, and he was upset he didn't get to meet you, Den. He hopes next trip.
Yeah, we didn't get over to Epcot until a little later in the afternoon, and he had come and gone by that point. But like we say, on these trips, you're trying to fit everything in, and family, and this and that, the other thing, and everybody's time doesn't always line up. But we'll definitely meet up with him at some point in the future, I'm sure.
And we want to thank all – I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bobby.
Was he the guy who was the fellow who was wrong about park hoppers?
Absolutely. That's him. And he even kind of agreed with me as we were getting a little hammered walking around World Showcase. I even got him a little more on my side, a little bit, because of all the shows that are going on. He kind of agreed with that a little bit, and that was my point. And those guys were really kind to us. They had a good show out this week. They did their top five Disney podcast. And our good buddy Pat, he was very kind to us. So go over there and listen to that episode. It was a good episode.
Better ranked you number one.
Yeah, Pat did. The other guys were they were nice to us. So, but it was good. It was really good. Pat's a great friend of the show. I told him there's always a stool for him here at the Main Street Pub. So what do you want to talk about? What was some of the highlights you had of your last little trip there, John? I mean, Bobby, was there anything that you tried that you were disappointed with, you were happy with? Let's try to build it up for John to go get one last snack around World Showcase.
All right, so I did stop back over to Food and Wine for a bit. I think first full day that we were there, Mrs. Hall in WDW, she had other plans. She actually wanted to go over to Sunshine Seasons and have the pork chop that they serve for lunch and dinner. So she went and did that. I, and on the other hand, hit some of my top favorites again. Of course, had another of New Zealand's lamb meatballs. I had the a couple of pork sliders from Hawaii. That's the dish that actually finished number one on my top 20 this year. Oddly enough, I was actually able to start eating pretty early. The New Zealand booth was open at 10:20, which I've never really seen happen before. That was kind of fun. The salmon I had again from Patagonia was very good. I think I mentioned to you, Doug, it was a little bit smaller piece than I had opening weekend. The seared scallop from Wine and Dine Studio, that actually wasn't quite as good as I had opening weekend. The crispy pork belly wasn't as good as I had opening weekend. We talked about it a little when we were together, but I kind of was feeling that Disney was suffering a little bit from heat lamp obsession, because a lot of the dishes were sitting under heat lamps, and who knows how long they had been sitting there, but they definitely weren't quite as good.
I ended up having that crispy pork belly, and I was all excited for it, and mine had more grizzle than taste. When I got it, I don't know if it was the same thing you said, John, or Bob, that it was sitting under the heat lamp way too long.
It just was. I didn't even post the picture of it. I mean, it was just way overdone. Whether it had been cooked overdone and then put under the heat lamp, or it just continued cooking under the heat lamp. I mean, the moral of the story was, the first serving they gave me, the black beans were cold. And I couldn't even cut through the pork belly with the plastic knife that they give you. So I took it back up and said, look, can I have another one? And I told them the beans were cold. So what they did was they took a little cardboard dish, ladled out some more beans, and they took one of the crispy pork bellies off one of the servings that were sitting under the heat lamp, put that on there, and then handed it to me. And I said, look, it still looks like it's overdone. I'd like to have a fresh piece. And they finally made me a fresh piece. And that was okay, but it was just okay.
But you shouldn't have to work that hard.
Really?
You know?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I tweeted or put a Facebook post. I said, yeah, I mean, I'm infamous for having Germany and Italy on my, like, forbidden list. Although I did eat both dishes from Italy this year. But I said, Brazil, you're banned from all in WDW.
I did have I was stuffed at the time, and my brother-in-law and godson ended up buying the ravioli from Italy. And it was tasty, but to me it was just a ravioli. It was like, it was nothing special. I don't know if you guys tried that. Have either one of you, John or Dennis, did you have that?
My wife ordered that, and I had a bite of it, and I would agree. It was kind of bland. I mean, I guess...
And it was thick, wasn't it, Dan? It was dry. It was weird.
Yeah, the texture wasn't that appealing as well. I mean, you're right. A ravioli, you know, how good can it be, I guess? And that's kind of been Bob's point for the last couple of years, that, you know, they've had some less than spectacular dishes. And to me, a ravioli is something, you know, we say it all the time. We can get it back in the Northeast that are, you know, fabulous, or at least some of the best you're going to get anywhere, you know, outside of Italy. And, you know, I just think that having that down there, they could do better or come up with a more, a better dish, I guess, for the festival. So I would agree with you. I don't think the ravioli was that good at all.
The dish that was good from Italy was the Tuscan style stew, actually. It was a beef stew that was actually probably the most tender of any of the beefs I had at the festival, including Le Cellier's filet. And it was served with a a piece of like fried polenta, deep fried polenta. It was very tasty. First time I had it was outstanding. When I had it this past week, it wasn't quite as good, but it was still what I would say the better of the dishes that they served at Italy.
Yeah. Now we've had raviolis, and I know you have too, Denver and John and Bob, where you can tell when they're hot off the presses, like you just getting served. The ravs itself is like there's no chew to it. It just melts in your mouth. Where when I eat a ravioli and I got to take a few bites to get through the skin of it, it's not a good rav to me. It's been sitting for a while. Like you know what I'm talking about with that?
Yep.
You know when it's fresh pasta, and it was fresh, but don't know what time that day it was fresh from.
Well, either that or it was undercooked, you know. Maybe the ravioli itself was thicker, like you said, and it seemed to be thicker. Maybe they didn't cook it all the way through, and that's why it had that texture.
I mean, it wasn't horrible, but it was like Chef Boyardee. You can eat it, but it isn't bad. But
right.
it wasn't the great. I'd have rather had so many other things, but
right.
They had seemed to enjoy it. Did you have it, John?
No, while you guys are from the Northeast, I spend my entire days delivering to Italian restaurants, so I'd skip right over the Italian booth at Italy. When I want Italian food, I've got plenty of choices. So, I get all the Italian food I want, and I see them making ravioli, and I get to try them in the back kitchens and stuff. So, yeah, I don't even stop there anymore. So.
Yeah, I mean, they made me try it because I didn't buy it. I mean, they got them and they made me. So I was glad I did because you want to taste as many things you possibly can. But it wasn't horrible, but I would never buy it again.
Right, and that's taken up some of your appetite, I guess, is what I want to say. Because, like you said, Doug, there's so many other things to have. And, you know, pasta in itself is very filling. So you probably could have had, you know, a couple other things from around the world showcase had you not had the ravioli.
Absolutely. And I will agree with you, Bob, and I'm sure everybody here has had them. The Kahlua pork slider was phenomenal. I mean, I got it twice, and both times it was like, it was perfect. The bun was perfect. I couldn't ask for anything better. I almost went back for a second one both times I got it. So, but I didn't because of the same thing Dennis just said. I wanted to try different things.
Yeah, it was really a surprise to me this year. I mean, it's always in my top five. And in 2011 and 12, it won the festival for me. But in 13, 14, and 15, it just wasn't quite as good as some of the other things that I had had. And this year, it was one of the first things I had on opening weekend. And the second I took my first bite, I just knew it was going to be hard to beat. And I had, you know, I obviously the last couple of years I've been a real big fan of the lamb meatball. I didn't like it as much as I had in the previous 2 years, and it, you know, it was kind of like a 1-2 type thing between the pork slider and the lamb meatball in the last couple of years. And this time, when I decide what's won the festival for me, it's usually a decision of what was the most memorable thing. If I go back for one last trip, like John's going to do in a couple of weeks, what's that one thing I've got to have again? And this year, it just was the pork slider.
Yeah, I agree with you, Doug. I had a couple of those, as well as I think everybody in my traveling party, and they all raved about that and couldn't get over how pineapple on a, you know, a little bun with some pork could be so tasty. And they really enjoyed that dish. It was surprising to them. They weren't sure about it going in based on the ingredients and how the menu read. But once they had one of those down, they were raving about that particular item. So it went over very well with my family and myself, for that matter.
Yeah, I had to talk my godson out of like eating 8 of them. I'm like, come on, Jim. He's like, I want more. Oh my God, I'm gonna go get a bunch of them. I know, Jim. Come on, let's go. And he's glad he didn't, but he couldn't believe. And they were all excited, like getting something that flavorful for, you know, $4. You know,
right.
$4.25 isn't really that bad. I mean, when you think about it, as good as it tastes. I mean, I pay $3 for a slice of pizza up here anymore.
Right.
So, I mean, it was, they were really good. How did you like it, John?
Yeah, I always like those, and that's usually one of the first things that we get when we get to the festival for the first time. You walk in, you take, what is it, a right off of the main thoroughfare there, and usually Hawaii is sitting right there. So it's good, and it was, like, I think, like Bob said, it's like they upped their game just a little bit this year to make it above and beyond again. So that'll be definitely something we grab one more time when we get back out there.
And to mention that area, literally, I could have spent my trip in that area. Walked over, got Moosehead, gone back a lot of Le Cellier Filet, head back over, grab a slider, go back to Le Cellier Filet, wash it down with another Moosehead, and I'd be in a happy, happy place. The filet was awesome this year, guys. It really was.
Yeah, it was, and you have Patagonia in that area too, which, if you like the empanada and the beef skewer, I know early on, I think Bob had mentioned, and John for that matter, that the skewer was better than the chew, but it still wasn't as good as previous years. But I had a couple of those over the week as well, and the skewer was pretty good, but the empanada I enjoyed with the chimichurri sauce. I like to put that on, even though it comes with the skewer. One of those, nothing fancy there, just some good old, you know, good cooking there with a little meat inside of a nice little pastry puff, if you will. But I enjoy those. But you're right, Doug. That whole area is a good, if you have to only do like a third of the World Showcase, that's not a bad third to hang out in.
I could live there in that part and be a happy man. And so, and the other thing I did have that I'll keep going, the positive things, John, I will give you credit for the pierogi and the over at Poland.
The kibasa,
kibasa and the pierogi. That was awesome. It was really good. Did any of you guys have that?
I did not. I just went through my list before we went on the air, and I'm disappointed to see that I never did get over there. But I remember John, you know, raving about that particular booth, and I just I either ran out of time or just ran out of appetite, one of the two. I just never made it there.
And again, phenomenal. That's like something that I enjoy so much because of my, you know, heritage and stuff like that. But then more than that, it's the fact that I don't have a good deli around me. So when I get to a place that has kibasa that's not Hillshire Farms, it's really a fantastic find. So
I really enjoyed it.
I stopped that trip last week as well, and I actually passed by the brisket and at Hops and Barley in order to try the dishes at Poland, and I agree on the pierogies and kibasa. I've passed that by in past years because it's like a more ordinary type dish, like John. You know, it's something that I would have had a lot, you know, growing up. But it was, the kibasa was very good. I thought the pierogi was kind of, you know, just okay, but definitely, I thought about you when I got it, because when I sampled it, I remember you telling the story that you tried to track down the manufacturer of it so you could make it at home.
Yeah, I was looking to see who makes that actual, that kibasa. I mean, we've extended, you know, other than Hillshire Farms, and bought a couple of better ones around, but I still can't find one that's quite as flavorful as that one, so.
No, I really enjoyed it. I mean, it was really good, and even the caramelized onions and the sour cream were awesome. Like the whole thing was really good. I really enjoyed it. And I've said here on the show, I don't eat a lot of sausage and stuff like that. So when I go to Disney World, I cheat and I enjoy kibasa and hot dogs, and I mean, you know, stuff like that I get in trouble for at home if I eat too much of it.
And
so
bangers.
I cheated a little
and
bit.
Bangers.
Oh, absolutely. We'll talk about bangers and mash on another episode. We can go for hours on that. Now,
no,
did any
do
you...
it now. Do it now.
No, did you? Any of you guys have the hummus fries? Dennis started off, we were doing an interview with Peas and Carrots. We did a little thing if we're on her show. And Dennis started out with one opinion and ended with another. But did any of you guys try to... I know, John, you had them with me. But what did you think of the hummus fries, Bob?
I thought they were good. I didn't have them again, but and I had a little bit of a group of friends with us when we tried them, so we each had a little bit. I'm pleasantly surprised.
Don't tell anybody. I had them three times.
Nice. I'm impressed.
Yeah, they were good.
Because I think those were fried, and I don't know that those are on Mrs. WDW Main Street's list.
Yeah. She was okay with it, but they were really good. There was only three of them each time, but I just liked the Dennis started off with them, and then he ate one but didn't get the whole sauce and everything else with it. And then when he finally combined it all together, he looked over at me, and I could see his opinion change. It was like the applause meter was going up. Like, at first, It wasn't moving. It was just sitting there.
Yeah,
it was sitting there.
It was one of those things where, you know, I literally just put it in my mouth and come and turn the camera on and ask me how it was. And, like, the full effect of the spices and, like Doug said, the sauce and the different ingredients hadn't fully, got across my palate yet. So I basically said that they were, you know, just okay in my response to her question. But unfortunately, I think she had turned the camera off, and I fully enjoyed the fries, and my opinion did change. They were a lot better than I had said they were, at least on the interview. So if anybody sees that interview, don't listen to a thing I say.
Yeah, because you guys know I do not like to be wrong about my food recommendations.
You haven't steered us wrong yet.
Yeah, thank you, Bobby. I take it very seriously. I will not recommend something if I don't like it, honestly. And I get, like, if you just ate them fries all by themselves, no, they wouldn't be good. Now, they would be really good if you had some kind of spicy dip or something to put them in. But when you combined it with the chutney that was on the bottom of it, they were really, really good. But you had to take the bite with that. Do you agree, John?
Yeah, I thought once you... Actually, my wife found them she liked them, but she said they were just a little bit too spicy for her. But yeah, I enjoyed them once you had all of the tastes mixed in there together. Definitely wasn't something you just wanted to eat by itself, or you certainly didn't want to dip them in ketchup, even though they're called fries. But
no, you wouldn't. Like some kind of spicy sauce, like it's on the tip of my tongue. There's a sauce that... I'll think about it later, but you get like no the sauce that you usually get, that spicy crab cake sauce that you usually get when you get crab cakes at restaurants.
Yeah,
you guys the spice with the crab cakes?
Yeah, I know what you mean. There's a name for it too.
It's like a mayonnaise hot sauce. You know, it has that kind of. It's like a yellow, like a creamish yellow. Yeah. Something like that would be really
something like that.
No, it's like a spicy remoulade.
Yes, yeah, it is. Yes. Exactly. And you know how you put that? You dip your crab cakes or pour your crab... That's exactly... Something like that would also be good with those hummus fries. Do you guys agree with me?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so.
The only thing that would be better is crabless crab cakes, of which only one of us have ever tried.
Well, if I'd have been...
They were so good, they haven't made it back to the festival yet.
They were so... you know what? The fact that you didn't try those crabless crab cakes put the Terra booth completely out of business.
Yeah, right. That's what it was.
You would have been the swing vote on that one. So.
Yep.
Do you know the worst thing about the hummus fries was? Because I usually can't stand cucumbers, and my wife found out I had them, because I tell her everything. And the tzatziki sauce was awesome, but... When she found out I had cucumbers three times, she wanted to beat me. I won't eat them here. Any recipe that we have with cucumbers, I make her. We switch it up. And now she's all mad at me because I had cucumbers three times. So,
how can you not like cucumbers? That's un-American.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't like pickles either.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not a pickle kind of guy either. Yeah. So... Well, me making sense, that's rare anyway.
Yeah.
The other thing that I liked that I know Bob didn't find a fan was the smoked salmon. Did either of you guys have the smoked salmon?
I did not.
John, did you have it?
Where was that at? No, I don't think it did.
It was at Scotland. It was over a little pancake.
The potato pancake.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I didn't try that.
Again, the only reason I had this, and I was glad I did, is my brother-in-law bought three of them. You know, he went there, he wanted to try it, he liked it, so he goes, we're trying this, because they were in the mode, you know, and it was funny, and I loved it. I loved that they were into it. Because we started, So then it got to the point where they're hitting every booth, man. They're buying two or three of everything. I mean, the food's flying at me left and right. I'm like, well, we got to slow this roll, man. I don't have that kind of stomach for this. But yeah, he went and bought the three of them for us. And I'll be honest with you, I really, really liked it. It was very fresh. It was so good. I think it just came out of the smoker. That's how fresh it was. Now, Bob, you weren't a big fan of that.
No, it's the texture of the smoked salmon. I've had smoked salmon a number of times. It's sort of, you know, one thing that I try to give myself credit for is if I don't like something the first time, I will try it again and again. And smoked salmon is an example. I've had it a number of times, and I the last time I had it, I just decided it's just not my thing. Venison's another example. I mean, I've had venison sausage, venison filet, all at Food and Wine, really, venison stew. And it's just not my thing. So I'll generally try something a number of times just so I'm not being too hasty in my judgment. I just decided, I love the potato pancake. I just didn't want to smoke salmon.
Yeah, I thought it was phenomenal, all of it. Even the sauce was good. Did you have it? You didn't have it, John? Then you didn't have it? Me and Bob are the only two, so it's 50-50. But if you like smoked salmon, we'll put it this way. If you do like smoked salmon, go there. You'd really enjoy it. Because I did. I thought it was very good. It was a surprise because I'll be honest with you. I didn't want it, but I ate it because they bought it for me. And when I ate it, I was like, damn, I'm glad I did this. You know, it was very, very good.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you may.
Dennis, you mentioned that you had the beef skewer from Patagonia a couple times. Did you have the beef skewer from the Chew Collective?
The Chew Collective. Yes, I did. Again, I just had a piece of my wife's, and we had three. She had three cubes of beef on the skewer, and one of them was inedible. Unedible, whatever the word is, and the other two were just okay. And I knew that going in because I know how hard you had graded the skewer, as well as John. So I even tried to talk her out of it, but she's a big fan of the Chew and wanted to try it, and that was something that appealed to her. So the answer to your question is yes, but it was underwhelming, and the one at Patagonia was much better.
Okay, I appreciate that because I also was questioning whether I had been too rough on it, and to hear that, you know, John, you and Dennis both agree makes me feel a little bit better because it is the Chew for you know, after all, and
sure,
and you would expect, I just wanted to like have a reality check as to just because it's in, you know, affiliated with Chew, was I like holding it to an unreasonable standard Food and Wine wise. And I agree with you. I mean, the beef skewer in Patagonia, and I'm sad that I missed that last week when I made my last run through Food and Wine. There you go, John, you can have one of those. But
okay, I think I will.
But you know, that Patagonia beef skewer is just so good, and it was complete contrast to because I agree, the beef that I had on my skewer was very uneatable as well.
Yep.
Well, I didn't go anywhere near it because you guys all said how bad it was, and I figured I wasn't even going to waste my time on it because I heard like five different reviews that it tasted like a boot. You know, yeah. It was and horrible, so I didn't even want to waste my time on it.
Yeah, and I just
mine was just gristle and fat on a toothpick is basically what I had. So I felt silly for spending the money on it after I got it. So,
you know, I'm just wondering, you know, if it's obviously the type of the beef that they purchased, or you know, I would imagine they bought a lot of beef to do the Food and Wine Festival for this. I mean, I realize there are cooking techniques that can, you know, tenderize meat and stuff like that. But, you know, maybe it was just, you know, they didn't get a very good quality grade of beef, if you will, for the skewer, because I'm sure the flavors, I mean, it's the Chew, like you said. I mean, they're professional chefs and cooks, and, you know, it's hard to believe that they would consistently have, you know, meat that's not very appetizing or appealing. So it's troubling, and I don't quite understand it, but hopefully they can correct that in the future if they're going to be coming back to the festival.
Well, I felt bad because I wanted to go home and tell my wife I ate at the Chew, but after all that, I just couldn't do it because she loves the show. And I've made, we've probably made 10 to 15 different recipes from Michael Simon and Mario Vitale here and Daphne that we've loved.
Yeah.
But just, I couldn't try that when everybody, and I didn't want a ravioli. Who wants a ravioli? You know, yeah. After I had one, I was done with it.
Wasn't now, did either. Vegetarian ravioli, but Doug, I think it was a vegetarian ravioli, as I recall. The one at.
Who's building the house over there? Is that you, Bob? I'm just kidding with you. It's funny.
I have no houses to build, no.
But anyway, now, yeah, it was a ricotta and
yes.
it was a vegetarian ravioli, and I just wasn't in the mood for it. But did you, any of you guys try the shrimp over at Australia? Did you like that, Bob? The grilled sweet and spicy?
The bushberry shrimp?
Yeah, with the pineapple peppers and onions? Did you?
I did, and I enjoyed that. And that's a dish that's been at the festival at least one other year, and it may be longer. Bob can probably tell how many years. But that's a favorite of mine. I love shrimp just about any way they're prepared, and I enjoyed that dish myself. I had that.
Yeah, I thought the pineapple and the snap peas were very good, too, with it.
Yeah,
everything was fresh and good on mine.
Yeah, it wasn't very spicy. I mean, I wouldn't call it bland, but, I mean, it's a good, solid dish for me. And I believe there were three big shrimp in there, if I recall, and I enjoyed that dish very much.
Did you like it, Bob? John, either of yous have it?
I did not have it this year or last year. It's been around for a number of years, and I found it to be a little bit too much on the sweet side. I'd rather have it be a little bit spicier. So it hasn't been on my list for a couple of years.
Johnny?
Is that Australia? Is that where it
was?
Yeah, we got the venison loin there instead of the shrimp. So we probably should have got the shrimp. The venison loin was... It was basically a Salisbury steak made out of deer, so it was not very good either.
That's what you get for eating Bambi, John.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. Now, did either of you have the garlic shrimp marinated shrimp at Japan? Because I had that, and it was very good, too. And I don't know which one I liked more, but they were both really good.
See, I found that to be – now, that one I did have. I'm sorry, Dennis. And I found it to be quite bland.
Now, mine was – now, you could have been. Now, mine – you could really taste the garlic in the butter, John. I didn't like the rice that much. I mean, because the rice wasn't that good, but the shrimp and the I really enjoyed it.
The difficulty for me with shrimp dishes at the food festivals is I don't think there's going to be anything better than the shrimp and stone ground grits that they serve at the Food and Garden Festival.
I agree with you on that one. That is a fantastic dish. So.
I can't imagine having something that's going to compete with that. So each one of these dishes, when they come out, I try one of them. I tried the Japan dish this year, and it just was nowhere close.
It was good. Like, I'm not saying it's the best thing I ever had, but it was decent. But now nothing compares to the spicy garlic shrimp
Spice
Road Table. That's the best shrimp I've ever had on property.
Did you ever get? And I asked you that during the week. Did you ever end up getting back over there to have that?
No, because me and Dan were going to go there, and we got booted out of there because it was – Doug had to put – and Dennis agreed with me and everybody else. Doug had to put his self out of harm's way of idiots.
It was starting to get a little rowdy as dusk settled in the day we were over there, and people were hooting and hollering, and I saw the hair go back up on the back of Doug's neck, so we had to make a beeline out of Epcot and go over to the boardwalk.
Yes,
that's Food and Wine Festival on a Friday or Saturday night, and
I saw you guys over at Boardwalk. I was wondering why in the heck you left all of us.
Yeah, we were headed to Spice Road Table. There was a couple tables left, and then these idiots, and I will call you idiots because that's what you are. There's this group of guys and girls, and the guys are jumping up and down, screaming back and forth to each other like a bunch of morons, like just making nuts out of themselves. So I started to see that, and then Dennis goes to me, should we go? And I said, yeah, we should go. And Dennis goes, yeah, I think you should go. And I think Dennis knows me from being on the – it was funny, though. I thought it was funny that – because he knows me from the show, and we're best friends now. And we haven't – this is really the first time we've seen each other. But he could see the expression on me, and yeah. He knew to get me out of the park like he's been hanging out with me for the last 30 years or something. He's like, I think you better go.
Hey, I warned you guys. I told you we were there Friday, and it was middle of the day, and the place was already swarming with drinking teams. I mean, and people, when I say drinking teams, I'm talking about big groups of people all wearing the same T-shirt. And you would think there'd be maybe one or two of them. There was like six or eight drinking teams ready to descend on World Showcase. I looked at Mrs. All in WDW was still over at Sunshine Seasons. And I looked at these people all like on their way in, and I said, I'm getting the heck out of here. Yes. And I could only imagine what it was like at nighttime.
I was just going to say,
you know, Epcot, it was like a vortex. Everybody was walking around the World Showcase the same way, and we were trying to get out of there, and we were like the two salmon going the wrong way up the downstream or whatever, up or down. I mean, it was really wall-to-wall people, and like Doug said, and he's not exaggerating, and anybody that's been there on the weekends can attest to this. You do tend to get the college crowd, and, you know, not to pick on that demographic, but all the locals for that matter. But, you know, they're there more to drink and raise heck than they are to enjoy, fine food and wine and beer, you know, in a reasonable way. And you could just see the way it was going that it wasn't going to be fun hanging around there waiting for illumination. So, we chose to get out and go to a quieter location.
I was going to say, Bob, did he ever find out who won? I put on his post, you know, who's winning, the guys who think they're still frat boys or the wino women who laugh way too loud. So I thought that would be the two of the drinking teams, right?
It went to the 10th inning in the 7th game, and they all lost.
Exactly. Because the thing is, I mean, and I don't begrudge anybody from having a great time. Like, I was happy that Carmen and him loved the concert going on. We were having a decent time. We had a decent table back there. We could have had some. It was nice. It was wonderful. I was so glad, John, we got to hang out with you, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. But I just don't understand why a group of idiots is going to go there with around families and kids and want to act that way. Now, I'm okay with having a good time, but why would you want to go there to get drunk? You know, go there to have a good time, but not to get hammered and act like a knucklehead.
Yeah, you would think it's way too expensive for most people to go, if that's their explicit purpose for going out that night, to get drunk. I mean, Epcot is an incredibly expensive place to just get drunk. It really is.
Yeah,
anywhere
true.
Really at Disney. I mean, you know, it's not the cheapest place to get drunk. And then, you know, show some respect. I mean, there's kids and elders running around all over the place. My mom would give me what for about 10 times if she ever found out I acted like that at that place. It's just not the place to do it.
No,
it's
unfortunate, and unfortunately we see it more and more. But I will say Disney does do a great job of kind of keeping that stuff in check. But, at certain times, and even this week, I know all the runners are down there, and I've seen times where, you know, post-party or run parties can get pretty rowdy as well. But, it's the nature of the beast. Whenever you have alcohol and people that aren't responsible, you're going to get some of that. Hopefully it keeps to a minimum, but if you can put yourself in a position where you don't have to be exposed to it, that's your better choice, as we did, Doug.
Absolutely. Now let's leave the idiots alone, like we did. Me and you went, and we'll do a review on where we went to eat, which I had a great time. It was nice just to hang with you.
Yeah.
And then any of you guys have the lobster rolls?
Yeah, I have one.
Yeah, I had three, I think. Not all at the same time.
I had one. John, you had one. And
yeah.
Bob, did you?
So, yeah, we had a picture of one that I put for opening weekend, and it didn't crack my top 20. So, like I was talking about the venison and the smoked salmon earlier, I'm sad to report that I've tried lobster rolls at a number of different places on property. Hurricane Hannah's, Cruise Cup, Food and Wine, a number of different places, and I've decided I just don't like lobster rolls. Okay. I like lobster, but not lobster rolls. It's sort of like what you've always said, Doug. Why would you want to ruin lobster by dipping it in butter? Well, for me, why would you want to ruin lobster by making it cold and mixing it with mayonnaise?
No, I hear you. Well, but unlike you guys slamming me, I will respect your opinion on that, Bob. And if that's the way you don't like lobster that way, I respect you for that. It's okay, Bob. You can have your opinion. Nobody would allow me to have mine, but Olive will let you have yours, Bob. Well, what did you think about them, Dan?
Yeah, I thought they were good. I mean, that obviously they weren't as good as a lobster roll I'd get back home here in Boston. But and the reason being, and I think I might have said this to you or even maybe John and his wife, the mayonnaise that they used, they spiced it up a little bit too much for my liking. Up here, it's maybe not plain mayonnaise, but it's very lightly seasoned, and this was heavily seasoned, and it gave it a tang to it that I'm not accustomed to. So for that reason, I didn't think they were stellar. I thought they did a decent job representing what a lobster roll should be, and I think they did a fair job. It was good. It wasn't great. It wasn't top five for me by any stretch, but they were, I had three, so they were obviously good in my mind. I enjoyed them.
I was going to say the guy from Massachusetts had three, so obviously they weren't too bad. I mean,
right. No, I agree.
John, you like them or no?
Yeah. I thought they were pretty good. I don't think I've had a lobster roll up until about 2 or 3 years ago when I tried one at the Food and Wine Festival. And then I actually had the one at Columbia Harbor House, I think, a year and a half ago, and I enjoyed that one. That was a heck of a deal, actually, if you compare it to the price you pay for a quarter of that size at a Food and Wine Festival. And that one's really actually quite tasty. But this one was good. I mean, it wasn't that bad of a deal. So, yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I had mine at the Columbia Harbor House again, which that's what I was going to say. I had both. And I'd have to say that the one at the Columbia Harbor House blows away the one at the Food and Wine, in my opinion. I mean, it's just not even close. And the one at Food and Wine was good, and I was happy I tried it. But Columbia Harbor House is so much better because it doesn't – it might sound crazy, but it's drier. Don't have the amount of mayonnaise. Would you agree with that, John? It's more flaky. The mayonnaise is there as the accent, not the – it doesn't control the dish. Like the one at Food and Wine, it seems like there's more mayo than lobster.
Yeah.
The one I got.
And not only that, but it seemed like there was – they didn't skimp on the serving, actually, at Columbia Harbor House. It seemed like you got a good amount on it, which I was kind of surprised.
I told my wife, I said, we should bring crackers with us. We could have lobster and crackers. There's so much falling out the sides.
Well, one of the reasons that I got three, and I'm going to thank
you. You had tickets left.
Yes, and I was going to thank John for that. We actually purchased three of the $56 ticket packages over the week long that we were there. And to John's point, it made sense to get the more expensive items, which the lobster roll was one of the most expensive things at Food and Wine. So we wanted to use them to get the value of, purchasing the ticket book. So we did that. And my son-in-law also found, and maybe John, you realize this, I didn't, but over in Mexico, I believe it was, they had a margarita for $9.75 that they found they could use the tickets for. So they were happy to find that and use several tickets to get some of those margaritas over in Mexico with the
ticket. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was great value.
Yeah,
John just opened up his checklist book and he's going to be writing that down.
I know Carmen from Peas and Carrots had found that you could use those for a lot of the mixed drinks, and I think that was her total plan for heading out, was she was going to knock them all out with the mixed drinks.
Was it the jalapeno margarita?
No, it was orangey one. Obviously, I didn't have one.
No, the Menzikol pineapple margarita on the rocks.
It was probably that one. It was.
That was $9.75 because they had the jalapeno one for $9.
Right.
So.
But once they found that, they were like, they found gold. It was like, oh, boy, we can use these tickets. And again, the tickets, if you
You probably them, woke up and didn't have a book left then.
Yeah. No, but that was a good, I enjoyed using the only thing with those, anybody that might be heading down for these last week or so of food and wine, and they even tell you this when you purchase them, they tell you not to wear it on your neck because the perforation in the tickets are so, they're perforated so well that they literally will fall off and fall to the ground. So they tell you right when you purchase them, do not put this on your neck. You're going to lose your tickets. Put them in your wallet or your pocket, which kind of was a bummer because the whole part of the attraction for me was to just have it readily available, you know, right on my neck to rip off a ticket and give it. So I still had to reach into my wallet each time I used one. But nevertheless, that was the deal with them. But as John said, if you use them judiciously and use them on the more expensive items, you could save a few bucks and get a nice pin out of the deal as well, which we have three of them now.
did you use all of your stickers?
Oh, yeah. Stickers or your
tickets, I mean.
Yes,
tickets.
We went back one last time, I think. The night before we left, we went back and we had a couple of tickets and we used them and bought some additional things as well. So we definitely made sure that we, you know, exhausted all the tickets and used
them. If not, Dennis, just put them right in the mail.
You
get here in plenty of time.
So. I would have done that, John. But thanks for the tip on those. I know that reading the festival passport, those programs are in there. But like I said, had you not, you know, told us about it and explained it in great detail, I probably wouldn't have done it, and you know, I would have been out more money and not enjoyed it as much. So that was a great feature to the festival, and I highly recommend it if you're going to be doing food and wine, you know, a whole day, or if you're going to go 2 days, it's a no-brainer. But definitely take advantage of those programs.
Now, a quick question for you, and I just want an honest answer for this. Because I know you lie to me all the time. I'm just kidding with you. Now, because you bought three, do you think you went back? Now, did you spend more money because you bought all three, or would you have gone back, or did you just go back because you had tickets left?
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying? Did it maybe make you spend more than you probably would have?
No.
And that's why they're doing it, because they're not dumb.
I don't think so, because I know how we do food and wine, and like I said, we were traveling most of the time with a group of six, so, and my son-in-law, you know, he can eat
anything.
Yeah,
he's a big boy.
Yeah,
he's
so,
a big
I mean,
boy.
I knew we weren't going to get stuck with tickets, or, you know, I was afraid that we wouldn't get the value, because we, you know, we just couldn't eat that much food. I knew we would eat all that and then some, and that's how it worked out. So at least in my situation, that wasn't the case. But I could see where somebody that might have just two people or much less of an appetite or something, it may be cutting it closest to, you know, are they going to use them and get the value? Or if you don't particularly like the more expensive things at the festival, then, you know, the math just doesn't work out where, you know, you're going to end up losing money. If you're buying $3.75 items with the tickets, you're going to, you know, it's going to cost you money. So that's that deal.
Yeah. Now, a couple of the other things before we get off, before we do another marathon. The fisherman's pie, did any of you guys have that? Because that usually gets rave reviews. What did you guys think of that? Did anybody try it?
Yeah, I had it twice.
Yeah, I had it once, and it was as good as always. And because I was too busy eating three lobster rolls, I didn't get a chance to get back over there. I would have had another one. I always enjoy that. It's always top five for me going in, and it ends up being top five coming out on the other side of the festival. Yeah, no pun intended. I didn't mean that to come over there.
I couldn't resist.
Yeah, I know. I set it up on a tee for you. But
at least you didn't say number two coming up.
Yes. No, but it was very good. And in fact, folks we were traveling with tried it for the first time, and they really, really enjoyed it. And they kind of likened it to a shepherd's pie, only made of seafood. So that's essentially what it is. And it's very good, at least in my book it is. not bought, but in my book it is.
You don't like it, Bobby?
No, I've had it before, and maybe it's time for me, maybe next year, to put it back on the list to give it another try, but the times I've tried it in the past, it's just been a lot more bland than I would have expected. One of the things I've thought of is generally when you get it, it's served pretty piping hot, right, Dennis? So maybe if I'd let it cool down a little bit, you'd feel, you'd taste less of the, like, temperature heat. It would affect, you know, maybe it's masking some of the flavor. But no, I didn't have it again this year, and it's for the same reason. I've had it in past years, and it's just not been high on my list.
I mean, I would say, Bob, that, you know, when I say it's bland, I think it's intentionally meant to be that way. You're right. It is a very subtle flavor. It's not very spicy, for sure. So I could see why you would have that opinion. I'm just wondering if there's some condiment or something you could add to it, maybe bring it with you or something, some Lori's seasoned salt or something like that, that might, you know, do the trick for you. Because, I mean, the chunks of lobster, I had a little shrimp in there, a lobster, and I think there was a couple little scallops. It was loaded with seafood, so from that perspective, it was awesome. But I will grant you that it isn't a powerhouse of flavor. And with the mashed potatoes, I mean, they're just plain potatoes, and that's kind of bland too. So I definitely see why you have that opinion, and I understand it.
Dennis, you just have given me a tremendous idea. I think it's Thursday night. I think we should all head to Doug's house because he's a phenomenal cook. I'll email him the recipe. He can make it for us for this weekend, and we'll all gather at his house and have a properly seasoned seafood pie.
I would love that. Oh, I can tell you what, I know one thing we won't have to wash it down will be Le Fin de Mine.
Well, it's going to be an Irish fisherman's pie. You better have some Guinness there. Come on.
Yeah.
No, you'll have your Peroni and Molson Canadian and have to live with it. I'll even get some Miller Lights for Bob, but I'm not getting any of that Le Fin de Mine.
You and I will have to meet ahead of time, John, so we can actually go to a beverage store and buy something drinkable.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. There's sweet water on the way or something. We'll find it. Yeah. Bob, the one thing I would say about the fisherman's pie, I know you go to the Food and Wine Festival quite a few times every year. Have you managed to actually hit a weekend where it was nice and chilly, or even maybe just in the evening sometime when it was maybe a dreary night and a little chillier than your typical 87-degree afternoon when you're eating something like that?
No, generally, John, we've gone opening weekend for sure, and then usually sometime middle of October. So we've not, there was one year that we did go in like the earlier part of January, right before close, but only the one time. So January. Generally it's still been kind of warm there.
Yeah, so night, I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying, John. It's kind of like even the Canadian cheddar soup. Yep. I wouldn't have that unless it's late at night and nice and cool. And, you know, I'm not eating that in the middle of the day.
Yeah, I mean,
so I get what you're saying with the fisherman's
pie.
Yeah,
I think both of those and even some of the stews. I mean, if you can have them in the evening, at least when it's dark, or even better, if you happen to be there at the end of October, maybe the first 2 weeks of November. So you'll enjoy them quite a bit more if it's just a nice break and it's a little chilly outside. The heat really takes away something from the enjoyment of those items. So.
And then the last but not least, and I know there's other ones, and I'll let you mention anything that I didn't mention that you guys really liked, was, did any of you have the buttered chicken? I had that from Africa. I thought it was pretty good. And I really didn't taste the cilantro that much on it, so I was very happy about that.
Yeah, I thought it was...
You guys have that?
I thought it was awful twice.
You didn't like it?
Yeah, I don't know whether I have Sana'a stuck in my mind or not, and I did have it ranked very highly at last year's festival, but this year I had it opening weekend, and I just was terribly disappointed. So last week I had it again just to do a reality check and see if maybe I was off in my earlier appraisal, and I actually liked it less last week than I did opening weekend.
Wow.
It wasn't my favorite dish, but it was edible. Let me put it that way.
That's tough to hear because I distinctly recall, you know, a couple of years ago you were raving about buttered chicken, and I know you were looking forward to going over to Sonata to see if it could, you know, would stand up to the one at Food and Wine. And to hear you say that, that's disappointing. What do you think's different about the festival buttered chicken from previous years, Bob? Is it the how they're cooking it, or is it the flavor, or what do you think's going on?
The serving I had last week didn't have any flavor. I mean, if you've had buttered chicken at Sana'a, when it's served,
oh, it's phenomenal.
It's, you know, the chicken is in sort of a very, and it's probably too rich, really, from a calorie standpoint, but in like a little bit of a rich gravy. Well, last year when they served it at Food and Wine, it was served very similar to that. You know, generous enough helping of chicken in this gravy, and then they give you the naan bread with it. It was very similar to Sana'a. This year, it was less of the gravy, more of the chicken. The chicken was not as seasoned as I would have expected it to be. And maybe they had complaints that there was too much gravy, not enough chicken, from people that like just weren't familiar with the Sana'a preparation. But I can tell you, I was very unimpressed the first go around, and I intentionally went back last week because was it last week, the week before? I don't remember now. But I intentionally went back last trip just so that I could, give myself a reality check. Maybe I just was being too, you know, unnecessarily harsh. And I have to admit, I didn't finish it.
Wow. Wow, that's saying a lot. Yeah, that's, well, I mean, that's why we do these shows, and we try to keep Disney, you know, accountable and on their toes. We enjoy, you know, Food and Wine, obviously, and we criticize and critique because we care, and we want it to be the best festival it can be. So, you know, sorry to hear that, and hopefully if it's on the menu next year, it's better.
Well, you don't want us all to answer at once.
Yeah,
I was waiting for Bob to come back at you. I was waiting for Bob. I didn't want to cut in. No, like I said, I tried it. My godson thought it was okay. I thought it wasn't horrible, but it was just a piece of chicken. It wasn't nothing special.
Right.
But it wasn't horrible. And it wasn't like we're, you know, we criticize because, like you said, Dan, because we care.
Yep.
We want everything to be perfect. Like I would like that beer to taste good, but it didn't. So what are you gonna do? My
It'll
buddy
be a
John
long time
told me to run
before I outlive that one. My goodness,
believe me,
you're
John.
A long time. You're never. There's
John,
gonna be daisies growing.
The crabless crab cake for 3 years. Believe me, you've got a long time to go.
Well, wait a minute. So let's be fair here. 2 points. First one is, you know, I do have Doug's back on that because it's not my favorite beer. But it isn't so bad that I wouldn't let John outlive it for a month of Sundays. And the second and the
no,
second
he's
one
not
is,
gonna outlive it because I would quit drinking if that was the only beer left.
And then second thing is Mr. Conroy, you committed to eat the crabless crab cake, and I committed to eat the crabless crab cake, and only one of us did it.
That's true.
So you deserve to live this for years and years on it.
I did it to myself.
And John, I'm telling you right now, as long as I'm breathing, you're going to hear about that.
Yeah.
That was a $10 beer, man. I could have had two Canadian Molsons for that price.
Hey, John. When he went running off to get his Molsons, did you tell him he'd be better off drinking a bottle of Dasani?
At that point, I just let him go. I mean, you know, he's gonna drink his Peronis and Coors Light and Molsons. So,
Johnny,
I give up.
I mean, Bobby, you and Mrs. All in WDW were drinking Miller Lights.
Well, we were trying to humor you since you were drinking.
Oh, stop! No, you were. You were already. Child, please. You were already into multiple Miller Lights when I got there. So I didn't make you drink anything. The point is, if you're going to pick on a Canadian Molson, you better not be drinking Miller Lite. That's all I got to tell you. So we're fighting now. And anyway, Yeah, just so everybody knows, it looks like we're going to be everybody. All of our website stuff's going to be run by John. It's all
by
in WDW.
By Bob.
Or by Bob, and it's all in WDW. See, you guys got me upset. This Le Fin de Mont has me crazy in the head.
Just remember, I'm the beer guy. Bob's the food guy.
But the thing of it is I'm also the food guy, and I never steered anybody wrong with the food yet. The beer now, I've been steered down into it. I got a train wreck.
You know what I gotta give him credit there, John. I mean, he's never steered us wrong on food. I will admit that, but his beer tastes, ugh.
Well, we all, that's why they sell tomatoes and tomatoes, potatoes and potatoes. We all like our own what we like. But anyway, John, Bobby's going to be running our website. We're going to merge our websites together, and Bob's going to be the official website of WDW Main Street, and we're going to be the official podcast of It's All in WDW. So things are going to be getting – we're going to combine more and more as the weeks go on, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun, don't you guys?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, and, you know, we cross-pollinate, and we have for years now, and we've had Bob on many, many, many times, and you know, he contributes immensely to the podcast, and he has a great website with the polls and the food wine stuff and the attractions, and we did the fantasy draft together with Bob, and it just seemed like a natural fit that we would merge both groups together, and we think we can bring some, you know, even better quality content going forward, Walt Disney World related. So we're looking forward to the merger and putting out some great stuff going forward.
I am as well. I mean, I love working with you guys, and I think it makes a lot of sense. You guys do a great show. I love being a guest on it, and you know, I love the fact that, you know, I can use All in WDW as an avenue for, you know, for bringing your show to hopefully more and more people. And, you know, to your point, Dennis, we're actually getting almost into poll season, you know, whether it's table services or attractions. In fact, I'm going to be angling in the, you know, near future here to kick off a parks table service series. Doug and I talked about it a little bit last week. You know, so one of the things we've talked about on past shows is that you know, we should spend a little bit of time maybe on the podcast discussing how to seed the different competitors in the different categories, and that includes the attractions, which will kick off in December with the Animal Kingdom, and actually sometime this month we'll kick off Parks Table Service also with the Animal Kingdom. I'm excited to get started, and you know, look forward to a time where we can have a four-way battle royal as to just why American Adventure should not be the number one Epcot seated.
I bet none of you. I bet I was the only one. No, did you see it too, Dennis?
I did see it.
Good job.
Yeah, I took my son-in-law's father in. The girls and the rest of the group wanted to see Live in Color. Not Live in Color. It was Hanson. And I was not going to go see Hanson. So, yeah, him and I went in to see the American Adventure, Doug. So I did do it.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
It was awesome. It was as good as I remembered.
Yes, it makes you proud to be an American. But anyway, I am looking forward to doing what we're going to do is we're going to do a show, guys, the four of us, and we're going to do the ranking. We're going to do the seeding committee. We're going to be before he puts it on the site. So we're going to seed the restaurants at the Animal Kingdom, and we're going to seed the rides at the Animal Kingdom before he does the poll. So this way, Primeval World is not on the list.
Okay.
Well, I think all competitors have to be on the list. I mean, we have to be fair.
Yeah, well, we just want to make sure Primeval World goes against Expedition Everest or Dinosaur. Well, so it's kicked out in the first round.
I will tell you this, though. I mean, when you get to the bigger parks, Magic Kingdom and Epcot, one of the things I found is there's so many different attractions that we can have a spirited conversation with those parks as to what should be in and should not be in, and that'll be fun. And I just encourage people to, of course, keep, you know, download WDW Main Street podcast off iTunes, and so you could stay tuned with how we transform the collaboration that we're going to create here, and keep coming to allinwdw.com, because over the course of the next several weeks, you're going to see the website as it is today, from an appearance and a content standpoint, slowly transform into something that will, be evident to everybody that it's all in WDW, but it's the official website of the WDW Main Street Podcast.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun with this, guys, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to just fight with you guys more and telling John how bad Le Fin du Monde is.
Oi.
Telling Dennis that thank God he went to see the American Adventure. He's a good guy. Bob, I don't know what I don't know what I got to pick on you about anymore, but I will find something. And you do have a wonderful wife, and it was great meeting her. And I'm really glad I got to sit and talk to her this weekend. I understand you more and more now, Bob.
I don't know how to take that.
No, you guys were wonderful. It was great hanging out with you, and I wish we got to. I can't wait to do it again, and I'm looking forward to the collaboration. We're gonna have some fun. Maybe John, you'll be able to start writing some of the stories you wanted to do now, and send them over to Bob so he can post them for you.
How about a dining review of Cape May in a couple of weeks? How about that?
There you go.
Pictures, lots of pictures, John.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we got plenty of them. Me and Dan, we even though we ended up eating the same thing, but we'll have one from we'll have a couple of them, because we both ate at a couple of the same places this trip.
Yep.
So, but that's going to be it, guys. We'll talk to you real soon. If you could, go follow Bob over at It's All in WDW. You can find John at Beer Solo. You can follow Dennis at Oak Manor. You can follow me at Good Old Grumpy 6767. And you can find us all at WDW Main Street. Thanks, guys, for listening to us. And we'd really appreciate it if you go leave us a review over on iTunes. And just remember, be kind to everybody. Be calm. Don't start trouble at Epcot Food and Wine. Be good.
Good night.
We will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.